good morning. 10 minutes after 9 o'clock. Got some clouds keeping us company here. Some light showers showing up on radar. 54 degrees where we're at. Well, I told you today, like every Thursday, is jam-packed, and we got to get things started with, of course, our favorite historian, Janet Gageland, in studio. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
I'm a little upset that I missed the Dumb Dumb Suckers episode last week.
That was a fun one.
But you got through it.
We did.
All right.
We did, yep.
Hey, we are talking golf today.
We are.
Okay.
This is kind of like the wrap-up for 1924, because we've been covering that for most of the year.
Yeah.
And so this is kind of like, okay, this is the last jewel in our crown when we started the golf course.
Yeah.
1924, some of the local professionals and business owners got together and they said, you know, we could probably have something like that. It was kind of beginning to be a, you know, a big deal around the country.
That's where it started.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they thought, okay, let's meet and see what happens. So they had an organizational meeting, and they had 110 people who were interested in becoming members. And so that it was like, okay, you pay a membership fee, and then, you know, like most things are administered. So they thought, okay, well, let's get this off the ground. They began their planning, and it was like, well, we need some land. So they decided to go to the Breckenridge side of the river,
okay,
Boite Sioux, and rent some land from a farmer there. So they rented some land from a farmer, and, farmland, there was a little,
a little sketchy about it,
Yep, and so their greens were sand, and they kind of wanted the ladies to wear shoes that didn't absorb a lot of sand, you know, more flat, because it would be harder to get through the sand greens if you had some more dress-type shoes.
How do you putt on a sand green?
Just like normal, yeah.
Wow.
But you have to rake a lot.
Okay.
All right, so they the bug bit them, and people were buying clubs. They were practicing outside in the alleys. Some of them were practicing in their offices. One guy, he took out a huge, like a hutch, a French hutch, just shattered it, took care of the chandelier in his office.
Golf balls flying everywhere.
Yes, yeah. And they started using the language of the game. Mm-hmm. So one of the attorneys, when he would want his stenographer to come in, he would say, four. So it was getting to be crazy. They started having many of the clothing stores would be carrying straw hats and all the types of clothing that we would need. So that was 1924, and things went along pretty well. They invested a little bit into the golf course, made it better, and by 1927, then they purchased the land that they were using for the nine holes. They planted fruit trees. They put in hazards of different kinds around the holes, and
sure,
and they hired a groundskeeper who was, you know, do a lot of, you know, cutting of the fairways and just making it more of a competitive but nice crown jewel of the community.
So the back nine was just the only nine back
then. That's correct.
Okay.
Except science school had a six hole course.
Really?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right.
That would have been probably really close to where the old Butte Gym was, on 4th Street there. So, but they only had six holes, and we had nine. So things went along well. 1931 was a very mild winter, and they had a tournament, a midwinter tournament. And then they had fundraisers during that time so that they could build a little clubhouse. Not anything with lockers or anything like that, but just a place where you could drive your car, get out of your car, and go change your shoes.
Simple clubhouse.
Yep. Yeah. But they also used it for events within Wahpeton and Breckenridge, and that served a really good purpose. But then, of course, the 30s were bad for rain and drought, and they struggled because they couldn't water anything, and there wasn't rain. Membership went down. But they hung in there. So then they had a proposal in 1942, I think it was, that they were going to expand the golf course. They got through the 30s, so they thought, okay, so they had someone draw up a plan, which would have been both sides. Now, 18 holes. 9 on North Dakota side, 9 on the Minnesota side. And then, of course, 42, what did we have? War. So then that plan got shelved. And they weren't able to promote it because, well, you know, World War II was...
We're busy doing other things, yeah.
By 1946, they tried it again. They thought, well, let's give it another go. And so they sold shares, kind of, for this one. And now we begin to see the fact that they were going to do something along the west side, you know, where lots were part of this. So mm-hmm. it would be part of the park itself. And, of course, R.J. Hughes was a good contributor to a lot of that park stuff. And so was his land. And so he's like, yeah, I'll donate to the park, but here are some things. We're going to do some housing development along the side, and then we can have something to sustain us.
That is fascinating.
And then by 1952, the North Dakota side was ready for play. So, you know, we opened...
Front nine and back nine.
Yeah, so we opened the one on the North Dakota side, and then the Breckenridge side took a little more work. So by 1956, now we were able to use the back nine. And then another clubhouse came in. And, you know, so there's an evolution of things that happened, of course, after that.
Right.
But, you know, back in 1924, there was a group of individuals who were visionaries and said, we can do this. And they did it. And here we are.
The thought of these guys teeing off in their offices is beyond hysterical to me.
Yeah.
And being out in the alleys and knocking golf balls all over the place.
Yeah, they didn't want people to think they were practicing.
That is priceless.
I'd be like, okay, why wouldn't you want to practice before mm-hmm. you got out there?
Sure.
You know, none of them probably knew much about it. If they had visited maybe some of the other bigger cities, you know, they might have seen it or had even tried it, but not so much.
What a great story. And you've been researching this for a while.
I have. Putting the pieces together. I started early in the research of 1924 because it came in early.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, like, where's the rest of the story? I mean, there's more to it.
Sure.
You know, because look what we have today, you know.
And yeah, and the flood of 97 took out, the golf course. And,
right.
And
then we had that footbridge that came in, and mm-hmm. that came in the 50s as well, so that they could get both sides. I remember that.
I do too.
Oh, scary.
It was. It would sway it. If it was really windy.
Yes.
And you were on there with a golf cart, forget it.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you had any kind of motion sickness, that was not the place to be.
And don't look down.
And do not look down. Yeah, no. Nothing below you but river.
No, yeah. Yeah. So we had a humble beginning, but, you know, today we have a really good course.
Absolutely.
And it's a duel. You know. So they're doing a good job keeping it up because we had a good base to begin with.
What are we talking next week?
Next week we're going to concentrate on the museum because it is open for people to stop in and visit.
Fantastic.
So that'll be our topic of the day.
And we're kind of wrapping up our history season. We were talking about that earlier because you get busy during the summer months. So we're going to take a little hiatus. But
well, it's a little busier earlier this year than normal.
Sure.
But yeah, the weather dictates so much of what we do. So
absolutely.
I'll follow that lead.
And all right.
Maybe September it'll be, or August it'll be pure rain. Who knows?
You never know. Janet, always great to have you in here talking
history. Good to be here.
It's part of our Thursday lineup here, talking history with Janet Gageland every Thursday at this time. The Voice of the Valley, AM 1450 KBMW. Morning Zoo with Tom and Kathy up next.
You want what you want. At Quality Toyota, we totally understand that we aren't going to talk you into a car you don't want. Instead, we're here to help you find the car, the color, the options, and the style that you do want. All with a